was reading something this week that I thought was a rather interesting insight, and that is that there have been several studies on marriage and what makes marriages work. And apparently, one of the greatest keys to keeping a marriage together is emotional intimacy, being close to one another, knowing the thoughts, the feelings, the desires of the other person, and learning to live with that, learning to be comfortable with that, learning to deal with that person on their own level. We need to know each other's deepest thoughts, desires, and motivations. That's one of the greatest predictors. I don't know, for some reason that struck me as something I hadn't really thought about, or at least I hadn't thought about it quite in that way. And as I looked at this passage of Scripture today that I want to talk about, it seems to me there's an element of that here in our relationship with God. Because of some of the language that he uses about God being, Jesus being in our hearts through love and strengthening us in our inner being, we can't really, I think, have a great relationship with God unless we also have the same kind of emotional intimacy that the marriage studies were describing. Does not Jesus even teach us in Matthew chapter 6, when we want to pray, go into a room by ourselves and close the door? Now, I know he's, on one hand, he's trying to avoid this self-righteous, oh, look at me praying. But on the other hand, when it's just you and God, what do you get? You can't hide, in a way. And a kind of emotional intimacy has to develop in that relationship. And I think we'll see this all the way through the prayer as we go through here. Now, on the structural side of things, I want you to just see that Paul says a couple of things. Number one, he bows his knees. I don't know how many of you get on your knees to pray by yourself. You don't have to, but here Paul, and it may be a metaphor, but the fact is, he mentions it. He says he's going to ask this through God, by whom all families are named. That's an interesting statement he makes. He's basically saying that everyone's existence and significance derives from our Creator. Period. Everything we have, everything we are, all that we can identify ourselves as, it all comes from God. And the prayer, I think also, if you will go back over further into Ephesians chapter 6, prayer is the very last thing Paul mentions when he talks about the armor of God. So he doesn't mention it as one of the pieces of armor, but it's still a pretty important element in that fight against the evil. And since so much of this prayer is about power, we should ask ourselves as we go through here, not only are we developing that intimacy with God, but number two, have we availed ourselves of God's power regularly in prayer? I mean, that's really what Paul is trying to say here. He's trying to get people to avail themselves of the power that God has offered to us. Now, I kind of want to give a little caveat here as I go through this. One of the problems I have with certain passages is there's so much detail, I want to spend a lot of time on the details. Occasionally I'm a detail person, occasionally I'm not. This one just sort of invites me into all the details, okay? So I'm going to do my best not to get too bogged down into details, but I think if you will remember the main idea here, and that is developing emotional intimacy with God, a lot of the pieces will fall into place without having to feel like you're getting bogged down in the details. Just remember that as we go through. So we're going to see Paul's prayer here. What does he ask for? And can we see this as a request that we make of God as well? If there were ever a model prayer, this is a pretty good one in terms of what to ask for, especially in terms of how closely we are developing in our relationship with God. So number one, the very first thing that the Apostle Paul asked for is strength in our inner being. And right away, we see two things that we've already mentioned. Number one is power. Number two is depth into us. Strength in our inner being. And you know, I kind of feel like I want to go into this, where is the inner being thing? But I think we all know. It's just deep within each of us. Sometimes into those little areas and cubby holes and closets we don't want anybody else to get to. We don't want to reveal about ourselves. But it's deep within us. We are spiritual beings as well as physical beings. So he asks for strength and power. Living the righteous life does demand these things, doesn't it? We're not going to do it without the power of God. We can force our own will. We can assert our own self-power, but it just really isn't going to happen. And he talks about this strength, getting the strength through his spirit. And I believe it's really through prayer is probably the one definitive means by which we stir the spirit to action. That spirit that we were given when we were baptized for him, okay? It's when we really get into prayer and really get deep within ourselves that spirit begins to come alive. And it has to be deep. You show me someone who doesn't live his Christianity outside the church, and I'll show you a person with little or no prayer life. Because that's where it happens. That's where it begins to stir. And it's in the inner being, the heart. Not just the seat of the emotions, but the very center of who we are. Our thoughts, our emotions, our will, all those things that go together to make up a human being. And I think it's pretty well known as we look at sporting events or any kind of athletic endeavor, it takes more than the physical to get it done, doesn't it? You have to have tremendous mental strength. Steve and I were talking about the guy that just won the Open over in Britain last week. And I just watch these golfers and I see them make really bad blunders, you know, on one hole or a really, really bad shot. They got to get up at the very next hole and just put it past them quickly. Otherwise, it's going to affect the rest of their game. It takes a lot of mental energy to play any sport as well as physical energy. So we're talking about, for a person who's trying to live the spiritual life, you also need to draw on extremely strong emotional and mental reserves. I believe that comes from letting God strengthen you really deep in your inner being. How open are you to the energizing influence of God? I think that's the thing that's being asked here. I think that's the challenge we have when we read this. It certainly depends on intimacy. I love the image in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I'll come in and eat with them." Can you think of a more intimate setting than sitting and eating with people? You know, it's part of the reason our fellowships, I think, are important, is we sit down, we look across the table at people's eyes, we let them talk to us. We don't even necessarily have to talk about spiritual things there, but we're developing that relationship with one another. Intimacy is something we develop with God when we invite him in. And I think, secondly, we have to make a decision to utilize that power. We have to decide that we're going to pray and ask God to give us strength. So, grant strength to us in our inner being. That's verse 16. Then Paul goes on to say, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And through faith, perhaps, is one of the key ingredients here. Now, the Ephesians certainly have already expressed their faith in God, so he's not saying, okay, you got to get some faith for this to happen. We know they've already got it by their confession and baptism. But he's saying to them, I want Christ to dwell there. And that's perhaps, to me at least, the key word. He wants Christ to really live with them. He doesn't just come for a visit. He comes and he stays. Anthony read John chapter 14, verse 23, that, you know, Jesus comes to actually live with us. He abides with us is the word that John likes to use. And he lives in our hearts. Okay? Christ isn't just somebody who comes for visit. He's somebody who lives at the very center of who we are, the very center of our being. He is the one who animates, enlivens, and informs everything that we do. He's right there at the center. And Paul says you need to be rooted and grounded in that love. This is the foundation. It digs down deep. Any foundation's got to go deep, and it's got to be strong. Otherwise, the house is not going to stand. Unless, of course, you live in areas where you don't need, you know, deep things. But you still need a good foundation for any kind of building to exist. And I think, you see, this really demands an abiding presence of Christ. And again, it's one of the Apostle John's favorite words. He says it in John 15 about abiding in him. He talks about it in his letter about abiding in Christ. he just lives there. You live with him. You just live with him. So he says, number one, grant strength in our inner beings, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And then he uses another expression about gaining strength. This time he says that you may be strengthened to comprehend and know the love of Christ. And that's kind of an interesting statement, because don't we all know Christ? Haven't we all had the experience of being a Christian, of coming to know the saving work of Jesus Christ? We all know this. But it's different. Think about the people that you know. Now, I mean, I go around the room here, and I know everybody's name. Some of you, I know your age. Some of you are not going to tell me your age, and I would never ask you your age. But I might know where you live. I might know something about your family information. But that's sort of on the surface, isn't it? And they're not unimportant things, but they're facts about them. Isn't there a difference between knowing some facts about somebody and kind of beginning to know them intimately? You know, when you marry somebody and you live with them, you begin to see things that a lot of other people don't see. Some of it's pretty good, some of it's not so pretty. But you still live with the person, you know, and you learn to love them despite those things. But the fact is, the intimacy level really gets deeper when you are around somebody and you get fellowship with them and you live with them. You see, this is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about Jesus Christ here. That he may live with you and strengthened to have knowledge of him, which is actually deeper than just knowing a bunch of facts about Jesus. Deeper knowledge comes with sharing things together. Deeper knowledge with Christianity, I believe, comes when you really begin to put into practice the things that he says. And you begin to realize, wow, this really is different than just knowing some facts about Jesus, some doctrine about it. You really know him because you live with him. Experience helps us to know how others tick. And I think that's a little what Paul's talking about with Jesus Christ. You live with Jesus Christ every day. And you begin to see, when you obey his commandments, what made him tick. Why it's important to do the things that you do. How difficult it sometimes is. But it's all a knowledge that comes, you see. It's all a kind of comprehension of knowing that's at a deeper level. When he talks about being strengthened to comprehend and know, Paul is asking for strength on their behalf. Entering deeply into the life of another is not for the faint of heart, is it? Entering deeply into a friendship carries with it certain burdens. But it carries with it certain rewards as well. It carries with it the reward of knowing that person is going to be there for you. It carries with it the power of having someone you can depend on. That all comes from intimacy. But it also breeds a certain vulnerability. And maybe that's sometimes what we're afraid of. We're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid that somebody might know what I'm thinking. They might know what I'm going to do. They might know me in a way that I don't want them to know, but they kind of need to if there's going to be an intimate bond and a friendship and a deep marital bond. It is risky business. It's risky business, I think, with Jesus Christ as well, because it opens us up to being hurt. You know, when we feel like the church, or we feel like other Christians, or we feel like God maybe has disappointed us, we feel vulnerable. And there's probably not anything worse than that that kind of threatens our faith. But you see, that's kind of where we have to go. That's the kind of intimacy, I believe, that Paul is driving at. And we can comprehend God when we know more than just teachings about him. We know him when we experience a living relationship with him. It's important. Paul is praying about it. Paul wants that for the Ephesians. Do we want that for ourselves? I believe for our relationship with God to be strong, we have to kind of go there with it. And finally, he says, I pray that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'm kind of not sure what to do with that. I mean, in a way, what is he talking about? Filled with, how can we be filled with God? Well, if I understand correctly what we've been talking about in our class on Sunday mornings on the book of Hebrews, he's talking about a spiritual presence that I have to really go, I have to learn to understand that God really is with us. Perhaps fullness refers to receiving his power and his character traits, which things are kind of imminent in all of creation. We see the power of God, we see the hand of God all around us. Do we know him by our presence with him through Jesus Christ? Do we get a sense of the fullness of God in ourselves when we develop that relationship with Jesus Christ? God's power and presence does, in fact, permeate all things. And it's through Christ that we experience that power. I believe all of the requests that Paul has made up to this point sort of culminate in developing that fullness. Essentially, we are called upon to conform to the image of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. We become like him. And he lives with us and within us through his Holy Spirit. When we begin to stir that, when we begin to kind of stir that Holy Spirit to power through prayer, I believe that's when we begin to be filled with the fullness of God. No, we don't become God. That's never going to happen. We're human beings. But we can be filled with his fullness. That's what Paul is driving at here. And he's driving at us having power. He's driving at us knowing Christ better. He's driving at us having power deep within our inner being. It's not something that's just on the surface. It's something that goes deep within us. It's a power we're not going to get any other way. Because it's a power that affects everything about who we are. Paul concludes here with something perhaps is a passage you've turned to from time to time to find strength for living whatever thing you've had to face. He concludes by telling us that God's power can do more than we can imagine. I don't know about you, but I got a pretty good imagination. It gets a little off track sometimes, but I have a pretty good imagination. I like to imagine a little bit. And it's not bad. Here's where we can let our imagination stretch some. I don't suggest we imagine things that are not true, but I believe we take what God is saying to us here and just really imagine the kind of things that he can do within us and the kind of things he can do for us. It doesn't necessarily mean he will, but it means we can stretch our imagination to realize God's power is greater than we can even imagine it to be. By the time you get to the book of Revelation, the church in Ephesus had seemed to have cooled off a little bit. He said, you've abandoned the love you had at first. I kind of wonder here in Ephesians chapter 3 if Paul is trying to stave off that happening by getting them to develop a strength within themselves and an intimacy with God that, you know, you can have all the beliefs you want, but if you don't have that intimacy, your love's going to cool off a little bit. If you don't have that emotional intimacy with another person, you know, your relationship's going to cool off just a little bit. So Paul's trying to stave that off. And really my invitation today for the church is really to find a way to open up your hearts to that intimacy. The details of what he does here are just kind of, I don't know, for me they sort of defy explanation by words. How do you know this intimate knowledge of God, and how do we have strength in our inner being other than to simply ask God for it? How does it happen? How do we get it? I don't have a formula for you except prayer. That's the formula. Ask God. Go into your room by yourself and talk to God, just you and he. And maybe that's how it happens, and maybe it's not any more difficult than that. Maybe it's not any more detailed than that. But I believe that you're going to need that if you want real power to live courageously and to live righteously. And I believe it's also for those who've yet to make a relationship with him. See, God is waiting to pour his love into your hearts if you've never started that journey. If you've never come to know him by the experience of obeying the gospel, God's waiting for you to even not only do that, but to go even deeper with him. I have to admit, I don't know that I can by experience, right now in my spiritual life, know exactly how much God loves me. I mean, I can tell you the details. I can tell you about the gospel. I can tell you that he died for my sins. I just don't know that I can feel it as much as God feels it. I'm working on that. You know, my spiritual life is always in development, just like yours is. To say that I have the same passion for God that God has for me, I don't know that I can say that. And that's just me being kind of open about, you know, where my relationship with God is. I still believe it. I'm working on it. But there's just something about it that transcends, for me, being able to explain it. Maybe that's the problem I'm having. It's an experience. And you've got to just get in there and pray and ask for strength and let God work in your inner being. For those of you who are already members of the church, who have the experience, I'm saying for you, go deeper. Develop that relationship. For others, perhaps, who have not made that commitment, start with a new birth and go from there. Just remember, for all of us, he always stands at the door and knocks. God wants us to come in. He wants fellowship with us. So whatever your desire, if you feel like you've fallen a little bit or struggling, or if you've never, you know, really had the first experience, we want you to have both. We want you to have the new birth, and we want you to kind of keep moving into deeper growth and know God better. Whatever your desire is today, we hope that you'll think about that. Talk to one of us. However you want to do that, we want you to make that thought and commitment today while together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.